My name is Emily McCormick, and this changed my life. What's this, you ask? Good question. You'll find the answer as you listen in. My friends and I dive into everything from faith to fashion, culture to coffee, purpose to parenting, leadership to love, and so much more. So settle in and let's learn and laugh together.
Hello, friends. Ooh, well, I don't know if anybody noticed, but I missed a week of podcasting because honestly, right now, my sweet husband is writing his doctoral thesis. And so he has been just in the grind trying to get it finished. I had my 8-hour Zoom seminary class with book reports and projects, and we had got to see some dear friends that came in town. So it just was one of those things where it was like, okay, I need to prioritize. And I knew that that would happen just with starting seminary and just with the things on our plate, that there would be moments where I'd have to make a choice. And so I just did not have time to record and edit. So I missed a week, which was hard for me just because I like to be consistent with it, but it's okay. So here we are. Today, I wanted to talk about parenting for a moment. Now, as you know, I've got 5 kiddos ranging from 12 down to 3. So hear me loud and clear. I am by no means an expert. I often joke with our 12-year-old firstborn. I will tell him when I mess up, I'm like, buddy, man, I am so thankful for your grace because remember, mom and dad, we've never done this before. You're the first 12-year-old I've ever had. And he kind of smiles and I'm like, I know that that's hard and I know that we fail and I'm just so thankful for your forgiveness and we're going to always do better and by God's grace. And so just leaving that conversation open, but it reminds me also like I've never done this before. So I want to make that loud and clear. I am speaking from what I have learned, from what I have observed, but by no means saying I'm an expert. I have so many things that I thought I knew, or I would make my prejudgments about something with parents with a 12-year-old or something when I only had a 6-year-old and being like, oh, I would never do that, or I'll never say that, or this or that. And now all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. Wow, I was judgmental, or wow, Lord, I actually am doing that because I need to, just whatever it is. And I'm not talking about like extreme things, but we are all learning, friends. But I do want to take a moment to just talk about a few things that we are facing and that I just want to encourage you with and honestly challenge you with. I think we can hear hard things and it's good for us. We're not made of, you know, what's the phrase where it's like, we're not made of glass, essentially, but we can handle hard things. So I'm just going to kind of go through a few random things that are just on my mind. I could do a whole podcast probably about many of these in isolation, but I'm just going to rally them off. So pull yourself up by the bootstraps, get yourself ready. We're going to go hard. Okay. Phones, kids and phones. There's no judgment if your kid has a phone. Truly, I'm genuinely saying that. We got our 12-year-old a phone at Christmas because we needed him to have one. There were many situations where need is relative, so I want to remove that. We wanted him to have one. There were times that he was at basketball and we were running late or unable to pick him up, or that it got canceled and we didn't know it. So we wanted to get him a phone. So it's been actually really, really awesome. We prefaced it with a million things. There was not a, here's your phone and we'll figure out the rules as they go. There are locks on everything. No text message can come through unless it's someone we've already approved. He knows we check it all the time. He cannot have it. I mean, we talk about it all the time. You cannot be on your phone in the car when you're with people, and we can see all of his screen time. So make sure if your kid has a phone, just be, it's the whole thing of when there is something that we that could be bad. Let's just use TV for an example. We have this response. We either want to completely be like, nope, no TV. TV's evil because I know there's evil on TV. Or you can redeem it and be like, we're going to put boundaries on it. We can enjoy family movie nights. We can enjoy it. It's the same thing with a phone. Of course, don't let your kid have social media. I could go on and on about that. It's hard enough for us grown-ups to navigate it, but I cannot imagine the weight and the comparison and all of that comes along with kids looking at social media. Make sure that's not in their room. I saw this thing and I can't remember his name. I wish I remembered it, but I'm forgetting. But I saw this thing posted and it was like, if your kid has their phone in their room, or let's say it this way, if your kid does not have their phone in their room, you're protecting them from comparison, depression, suicidal thoughts, bullying, and like the list went on, anxiousness, lack of sleep. And it's just true. Like, we all know when a text comes through, when a like comes through, when somebody calls, there's this like, I think it's similar to like oxytocin, like the thing that goes to your brain where it's like you crave it, you want it, it feeds something in us. So even with the phone in their room, bad news, it's just like a no-brainer. Also, this sounds silly, but you're the parent, act like it. You can make boundaries for the phone. Will your child be angry? Maybe. Should that matter? No. I'm sorry to tell you, no. And I mean, be bold, parents or grandparents or foster parents, whoever you are listening that you have a child in your care. Be bold. You are preventing pornography, depression, suicidal thoughts possibly, lying, hiding, whatever it is. It is your job. You cannot blame your 13-year-old. Now, I know there are circumstances that is not in their control where things come up or they accidentally see something. That's different. But I'm talking a device that is theirs, that they're in your care, that you have control in. There is no reason why there should not be every boundary under the sun for that phone. You should be seeing everything that happens. You should be telling them, hey, by the way, this is actually mine. I bought it just like this home is ours. Yes, you have a room, but it's actually ours. So we will monitor it. Do you know why? Because we love you fiercely. And even if you're angry for a moment, I would do it again to protect you and explain it. Don't be a jerk, but be bold. I'm like, fight for your kids, fight for their eyes, fight for their hearts, fight for their minds. Have boundaries on everything. If they cross a boundary, take it away for a month, for a year. It doesn't matter. Like, we had some silly situation where it was like not even a big deal, but I think he took it and played a song, but he didn't ask me to take it. Like, at home, there's one spot it stays. He does not need his phone at home. It stays in our kitchen counter. And he didn't do anything bad, but he did not ask me. And I wasn't angry. The rule had already been in place. And I said, hey, buddy, put your phone, turn it off. It goes away for a week. And he was just like, okay. Because I had told him ahead of time. So again, obviously I'm passionate. Please, 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 I'm begging you, make the boundaries. If you wish you would have made more boundaries, don't say, well, it's too late. Go back and do it again. It's not too late. It's not too late. Okay. Whoo. Next thing, moving on. I don't even know how long this already is, but the other one is failure, meaning like they're not good at everything, is actually a really, really good thing for your kid. I know people who, when they were in their homes, their parents wanted to protect them from everything. And I'm not talking about like protecting from pornography and seeing horrible stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. Yes, protect them from all of that. I'm talking about making mistakes, not being the best at everything, not getting the gold medal, not getting accepted into things. Those are the things I'm talking about. Because the truth is, you guys, your kids are going to face these things in the real world sooner or later. And our prayer in our home is, Lord, let them face that when they're under our care so that we can navigate that with them, not when they're 18 in college and all of a sudden being like, wait, what? I thought I was good at everything and now I don't know what to do and maybe my identity was in my worth. No, no, no. You want to teach them now. So many of us, me included, learned some of those lessons way later and it rocked me to my core of like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. And so I just want to encourage you, the whole like everyone's a winner in terms of sports or singing or art, it's like that's just not true. You can still encourage them and say, I'm proud of you for trying. Your worth is not in you if you win or lose. But you don't have to be like, no, 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 they're actually not good. You really are the best. Or, well, we're all like, that's just not true. And they're not going to be good at everything. And they're going to miss a deadline. Sometimes they're going to lose a jujitsu match. Parentheses, that happened to me today with one of my kids and it tore me up inside. And yet my husband was like, I think that was one of the most powerful lessons in his life to this date of failing and still going back in, even though he didn't want to. So I just want to encourage you Don't protect them from all of those hardships. Pray that they will happen while they're in your care, and that gives them tools to know how to handle them when they come other places in their life, because they will come until the day they die. We all will have moments of failure. Teach them where their identity lies. Guys, in our home, my biggest prayer is, God, let them know that their identity is not in what they do, not in how they perform, not in what they present to me as a parent or present to God. Their identity is child of the Lord Most High, created in the image of God to be an image bearer to the world, that even if all they do is love God and love people, like, that's enough. They don't have to perform. And what a cool thing for you to get to show them that while they're in your home. So the whole everyone's a winner, boo, doesn't work. Okay, last thing, just because I could go on and on and on, I think this is the last thing. Parents, I want to encourage you, save your best for your kids. And here's what I mean by that. We are all gifted in certain ways. If you are a leader and you naturally lead people and you rally people and you gather and you give vision and you have a plan, that's not just for your career, that's for your family. Give them your best. Grab your family together. I cannot recommend Family Teams by Jeff and Alyssa Bethke and Jeremy and April Pryor. It's an incredible kind of program, sounds like the wrong word, but they have resources and it's changed our family. But they talk about gather your family as a team. All right, to your firstborn. All right, you're a leader as well. Let's make a plan. What are we going to be about? What's our mission statement? What do we want to be known for? What's our goal going to be this year? If you are a leader, mom, dad, whoever you are, that's the caretaker, bring that to your family. It was meant for your family. Give them your very, very, very best. If you are a creative, bring that home. Invite your kids into painting or writing music with you or making movies or whatever it is, whatever your creative gift is. If you are an engineer, teach your children what you're learning at work. Teach them on a very kid level. Give them the tools to be like, this is what I do. You want to see? Don't just compartmentalize your gifting. Whatever, anyone listening to this, you have a natural God-given gift. If you are a natural public speaker, give them that tool and explain how that came about. Maybe they have the gift, but they've never been given the opportunity. But give them your best. I have been challenged with this myself. I am a gatherer. I am an enthusiast. I love to be like, we're going to do this. Everybody's in. Come on. And I like to gather my friends. And so with my kids, I like to do that with them. You want to do that? Okay, call your friend. Let's get on FaceTime. You're going to do this? Let's get everybody together. We're going to meet here. All of us are going. I love to gather and I want them to see that. And I want them to enjoy the fruit of my work and the fruit of my gifting as well. So give your kids your best. And I know we're exhausted. Moms, dads, grandparents, foster parents, whoever. We're tired. I know how tired we are. But man, I just know I don't want the people in my life outside of my home to think higher of me than my own family. I want them to be like, oh yeah, like I know my mom did a podcast and I know my mom preached or taught or sang or whatever, but like we also did that with her and we got to actually do it with her the most, or we saw the best of that or whatever, or in your prepping for a sermon or in your prepping for your work or whatever, do that with them, invite them into it, ask them questions. That's my final encouragement. So parents, you are incredible. This gig is no joke. It is the hardest thing and also the most joyful. I just want to end this with a quick prayer because it was a lot. God, would you just awaken something in our heart, soul, mind, that something from what I said that was like, you know what? That's the thing I want to leave with, because I said a lot. There's no shame. Hey, if parents on here have made a mistake and they're like, gosh, I didn't create the right boundaries, or maybe they're going to find out that their child saw something on a phone or whatever. Lord, there's no shame in the name of Jesus, but there is urgency. So let them feel urgency, God, that there is forgiveness, there is grace, there is mercy, that they're equipped by the power of God to parent these kids. God, give us supernatural wisdom to know how to see beyond maybe actions of our kids, but really see to the heart. Let us treat them like royalty. These children are going to change the next generation. These are the world changers. So let us view them as that. God, let us repent quickly. If we have failed, I know I have, I've lost my patience, I've not treated them well, I've shamed them. God, let us repent quickly. Let us remember these kids are a gift, they are yours, God. So I pray that everyone listening, if they are a parent or if they will be someday, Lord, give them peace that they are your kids and you will equip us to do the good work of parenting. In Jesus' name, amen.